Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatsia Daf Samachay. We are holding on Daf Samachay, and out of 7 lines into the page at Amar Abaye. Last word on the line is Amar. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Vasimcha, Allah Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives that should return home safely, and also by Eliza and Aaron Hertz and family in memory of Eliza's father, our friend Judge Noach Deer, Zichron Levracha, Noach Ben Mishul Mishrago's fourth yard site is today. We all miss him very much. His neshama should have an aliyah. And also sponsored by David Kesselman, my friend David Kesselman, in honor of the shir and helpful guidance on all things. We thank him very much we thank everybody very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First thing we're going to talk about, three different cases of returning ribis katsutza, meaning presuming, like the sheet of Reb Lazar, that when you have ribis katsutza, that it's yotza b'dayanim, that you have to return it, and the Beis Din can enforce the return of ribis katsutza. We're going to have three different cases where it's not so obvious how much to return, because the amount that they had set was X, and the amount that was paid may have been X plus Y, or is paid in some different form. So the Gemara is going to discuss three different cases where it's not so obvious what exactly you return when you are returning ribis katsutza. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a discount, giving a discount on advance payment, and why that might be different for a rental than it is for a sale. That it might be a problem of ribis when it comes to discounting a sale for paying in advance, but a rental for paying in advance, maybe it won't be a problem. The Gemara is then going to have a discussion of Rav Papa's business. Rav Papa was a beer brewer, so his business practices may have looked a little like ribis. So the Gemara is going to discuss whether Rav Papa was permitted to do what he did, which was to sell beer for future prices, for when the prices go up, even though he's selling it today at when the prices of beer are cheaper. The Gemara is then going to have the Mishnah then rather on Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis, is going to discuss ribis issues with selling a field or using it as a mashkon, meaning if a field is being used as a mashkon and you're not sure whether the field is ultimately going to be collected for the debt, or he's just going to pay back the money. So who gets to eat the peiros in the field during that time? Meaning, is that going to be a ribis problem regardless of who eats the peiros, depending on how it all plays out? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if a person gave partial payment on the field, a person gives partial payment on the field, but the transaction can still be canceled. So if the balance isn't paid, so who eats the payros? Meaning, I paid a little bit for the field, but I don't yet own the field, because if I don't ever pay the balance on the field, so then it's going to be seized, and the transaction is going to be canceled. So who's going to eat the payros in the interim if we're not really sure whose field this is right now? Then at the end of the daf, we're going to have three different prices that assume that sad echad beribis is aser, meaning we had a machlokas about sad echad beribis, where we have a deal in place where there are two possibilities and only one of those two possibilities is a ribis situation. So we're going to have three different brisos that assume that sad echad beribis is aser, which is against the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So let's begin. Again, we are 7 lines into the page on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph. We are at Amar Abaye. So we had said that Reb Lazar holds ribis katsutza is yotza b'dayanim, that it's enforceable and based in, that they could take away the ribis katsutza, unlike the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's not yotza b'dayanim. We paskin like Reb Lazar, we're going to see in today's daf, that we paskin like Reb Lazar, that it's yotza b'dayanim. So what about the following cases? Amar Abaye, Hayman demasik suzud ribisa b'chavrei. Let's say a guy lends his friend money, and they have ribis katsutza. I lend you $100, you're supposed to pay me back $100 plus one zuz, and you do. The ka'azli chiti arbag grivi bezuzu b'shuka. But instead of paying me back just one zuz, it happens to be that at the time that you're paying me back the loan, the price of wheat in the shuk is that four sa'a of wheat costs one zuz. So you expect that, okay, he'll pay me back the loan, he'll pay me back the $100, plus he'll pay me back either a zuz or four sa'a of chitim. But no, v'yavle ihu chamisha, he gives me 5 se'in of chitim. So if I would have taken 4 se'in of chitim, that's exactly the Rivas Katsutza deal that we had arranged. But he gives me 5 se'in of chitin. So, kimafkin mine, when the dayanim make me pay back the ribis, because ribis is yotze b'dayanim, so arba'a mafkin mine. They only make me give him back 4 sa'a of chitim, because that's what we were kotzeitz. The katzitza of the ribis was for a zuz, and 4 sa'a of chitim is what you get for 1 zuz. So that's the only part that was actually ribis katzutza. The rest is still ribis, it's just not ribis katzutza, it's yotze b'dayanim. Idach, the 5th sa'a, he didn't give because of the katzitza. So he just agreed to give that azulu yudukamozul gabei. He's willing to, it's just, he's giving him a good price on wheat, meaning we view it as if that he gave me back a zuz, and then instead of me buying 4 se'in for a zuz, which is a reasonable price, he allowed me to buy 5 se'in for a zuz, which is a really cheap price. But that's viewed as like a separate transaction, and that has nothing, the fact that I got a good deal on wheat is irrelevant. Only the 1 zuz, the 4 se'in, is actually the ribis katsutza. That is Abaye's shita. But Rava disagrees. Rava amar, that even though min adin, you're right, you only would have to return 4 se'in, because that is the ribis katsutza. And that 5th sa'a is not ribis katsutza, chamisha mafkinen minei. Still, the Beis Din will require me to pay back all 5 se'in of wheat. It may kar b'toras ribisa asay liyadeh, because when I received all of that wheat, it was b'toras ribis katsutza. And if I would not have taken ribis, I would not have gotten that good price on the wheat, because that is not, he's not going around selling 5 se'in of wheat for a zuz. He only gave me these 5 se'in of wheat because he owed me the ribis katsutza. So all of it came about through the ribis katsutza, and therefore I'm going to have to pay back all 5 se'in of wheat. So that is case number 1 of ribis katsutza, that's yotze b'dayanim, but the amount is unclear how much I have to pay back. Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Another machlokas Abaye and Rava. Va'amra Abaye, hayman demasik arba zuzi deribisa b'chavre. A person lends his friend money, and they determine that there's going to be ribis katsutza, that he's going to give an extra 4 zuz in when he pays back the loan. V'yavle glima begavayu. But instead of giving me cash of 4 zuz, he gives me a very chashva garment. He gives me a nice bekesha instead of just giving me cash for the loan. So kimafkin and minei, when the dayanim come and take back the ribis katsutza, that I was paid, arba'a mafkin and minei, they take 4 zuz from me, but glima lo mafkin and minei, they cannot make me give back the actual garment, because the katsitzas haribis was on money, it was not on a garment. The fact that he gave me a garment, that's a separate transaction. He owed me 4 zuz for the ribis, he gave me, we view it as if he gave me 4 zuz for the ribis, and then I turn around and I take those 4 zuz and I buy this bekesha from him. But that's a separate transaction. So they can only take the 4 zuz from me, not the garment that I bought. But Rava Amar, Rava disagrees. He says, no, glima mafkinan minei. They actually take the beged from him. My timer, why would they take the beged? The ribis katsutza was on 4 zuz. Because it looks terrible. Everyone's going to know. How do I get the beautiful tish bekesha that he wears, and everyone comes to my tish, and they're going to see that I'm dreaming, right? That everyone's going to see that he's wearing this garment. That's a garment that was collected with ribis. What if the lover is mochel and he says, it's okay, you could keep the glima, and I'll just take back the money instead. So the gidulei chuv, meaning what would Rava say? Abaye says is exactly what you're supposed to do. Let him keep the glima and give back the money. What would Rava say if he's mochel and he says, I'm fine with you keeping the glima and just give me back the money itself? So the gidulei chuvah says he's not allowed to, because again, the chashash is shema yomru, that it smells bad, that it looks terrible, that this guy's wearing the glima that everyone knows was received as ribis. So even if it's not up to the mechila of the lova, it's like a maris ha'ayin issue, that the malva is not allowed to do this. However, the Mishnah Melech rejects that Gidulei Truma. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Malva Halova Perches Halacha Aleph writes that since Minadin the Mekach is batal and it's only Kayim because the Lova wants it to be so, it's as if he gave back the money and they worked out a new deal and there was a new purchase of the item. So he can be Mochel. Okay, so that's a Machlokas Achronim. Now a third case of returning ribis. Amar Rava, Haiman Damasak Tracer Zuzi Dribisa Bechavre. A person owed 12 zuz of ribis. So whatever the amount of the loan was, it was. The agreement was to pay back that plus 12 zuz for ribis. So the borrower rented to the lender a field that normally goes for 10 zuz for a rental fee. But the borrower owes the lender, the ribis arrangement is that he owes the lender 12 zuz. But I'm renting you a field that normally the going rate for this field is 10 zuz for a rental fee. And I say, you know what? We make an agreement that we're going to say that the rental fee on this field is 12 zuz, more than the going rate. And instead, in lieu of you paying me that rent, this is the ribis, right? Meaning I owe you 12 zuz of ribis, so don't pay me the 12 zuz. I'm going to give you this field, which normally I would charge 10 zuz for, but we're going to pretend it's 12 zuz, and therefore we're even as far as the ribis is concerned. But this ribis ketsutza, it's yotza b'dayanim. So how are we motzi this b'dayanim? So kimafkinim inay, when the dayanim take the ribis money back from the malve, from the lender, to give it back to the borrower, trace sar mafkinim inay. He's got to. We take 12 zuz from him. He cannot say, well, I didn't get 12 zuz. I only got 10 zuz because he gave me a rental on a field where the going rate was only 10 zuz. So I shouldn't have to pay 12 zuz. No, we take back 12 zuz. We take back all 12 zuz from him. The Taz discusses whether this is dafka by a schirus, where he can't really return the schirus be'en. But if he receives an object that's worth 10 zuz, and they just say that this should be in place of the 12 zuz of ribis, where you could just give back that object, so maybe you can give back that object. Maybe that's different than a rental, where that object has a value for sale of what ownership of that object is worth. Or do we say no? Even in that case, it's basically he agreed to take 10 zuz as ribis and not 12 zuz as ribis. But anyway, so the halacha is he's got to give back 12 zuz. Why can't the lender tell the borrower ki agra hachi, the fact that I was willing to pay such an elevated price for this rental, meaning I was willing to take a field that's only worth 10 zuz at a rental fee of 12 zuz, it is to become mishtarshili because all of this money was extra money for me. It was ribis. I didn't have to take any money out of my pocket to pay for the skirus. So I was willing to take a 10 zuz field for 12 zuz because I knew that there's not a single zuz that I'm going to have to reach into my pocket to give you for a rental payment. But now that's not the way it's working, I'm going to have to take money out of my pocket to give you back the ribis katsutza, to give you back the money. Well, I don't want to give you any discount anymore. Kedagri kuli almu dagarna. I want to pay the price that anyone else is going to pay, which is only 10 zuz. So why can't he make such a taina? So he says the Gemara, no mishum da amrlei, because the lova could respond to the malva, savarta vikibalta. You accepted this price. Meaning, even though ein achinami, this field should have only been rented for 10 zuz, by you agreeing to accept it in lieu of 12 zuz, you were saying that to you, this is worth 12 zuz. So you receive 12 zuz of ribis katsutza, and therefore when you pay back 12 zuz of ribis katsutza, period. So those are our three cases of ribis katsutza yotze b'dayanim, where it's not so clear exactly how much the guy has to pay back. The first two are machlokas Abaye and Rava, and the third one is just a statement of Rava himself. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. So we already said that anytime you have agar natar, you have extra payment payment for holding on to for having an extension on having to pay money. So the halacha is, even if it's not derech halva, it's derech mekach memkar, we view that as ribis midrabanan. So our Mishnah just draws a distinction that marbin ala sachar ve'in marbin ala mecher, that you're allowed to add to the rental payment for a delay in payment in paying, meaning if a guy doesn't have to pay the rental payment for a while, he's going to have to pay more by virtue of the fact that he doesn't have to pay for a while, but not when it comes to a sale. When it comes to a sale, the fact that he pays late cannot entitle, cannot make it that he's going to have to pay more because he's paying late. So Ketzad, for example, Hiskelos Chatzero Va'armelo, Im Achshavatonosini, I rent you my chatzin, I tell you, look, you want to pay up front for the whole year of Schiros, Hare Lucha Be'eser Slom L'shana. The fee is, the Schiros for this field is 10 slotim for the whole year. But ve'im shal chodesh b'chodesh, but if you're going to pay me month by month, so if you pay me chodesh b'chodesh, you pay me month by month, you're going to pay me the rental payment, then it's going to be selah l'chodesh. Well, last time I checked, there aren't 10 months in a year, there are 12 months, sometimes 13 in a year, right? So he's going to be paying more money if he pays by the month, rather than paying it all up front, where he's going to be paying less money. So mutter, that's okay. You're allowed to do that on a schirus. However, and the Gemara will explain why. However, if he sells him a field, and I say, look, if you pay up front for the whole thing, so then I'll sell you the field for elev zuz. But if you want to wait till the shas hagoren, the time of the goren is the time that they're able to actually sell the produce that the field grew. So he's going to have more liquidity at the time of the goren. He's going to have more cash on hand because he's going to be selling things at the time of the goren. But that's not for a while. So you're going to pay me later. That's going to be b'shnei masamana. Then it's going to be shnei masamana. It's going to be, instead of elef zuz, it's going to be 1,200 zuz. So aser, that's aser. That's considered to be ribis. At least ribis midrabanan. That's agar natar. That's ribis midrabanan. So the Gemara explains why the chilek between a schirus on the one hand and a mechira on the other hand. Maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What's the chilek between the reisha when it comes to a schirus, where we say it's permissible to charge more money for paying later, and whereas when it comes to a mechira, it's not permissible to charge more money for paying later. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tami Tavai, Schirus Seinu Meshtal Masal B'Sof. Because the real halacha is that Schirus is only due at the end of the period of the rental. Schirus is not due up front. When you sell something, it's the money's really due up front. So hi, when the guy says, look, if you want to pay me at the end of each month, you want to pay for a seller for each month, Kivin Lomit, since really the zman to collect the schirus doesn't has not yet happened when we make the schirus arrangement, when we first sign the lease, so really you only have to pay me at the end of each month. So the fact that I'm koveya this price lava agarnatale is not really that I'm giving you something for the fact that you're letting me pay late, that you're letting me hold on to my money for longer. No, the real rental price is the monthly price, because that's when rental payments are supposed to be. The fact that that when I'm renting out my field, I say, look, if you want to pay me for the whole year up front, you could pay me less. That's paying less. The issur of ribis is to charge the guy more for the fact that he gets to hold on to his money for longer. I'm not charging the guy more. The guy, if he wants to hold on to his money for longer, will pay the real price, the regular price. I'm charging him less for giving me the money up front. So therefore, that is not going to be an Isser Ribbis. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Kovayin Vav that if they were already Koveya, that he's going to pay 10 slot in Lashana at the beginning of the Zman HaSchirus, and they made a Kinyan Al-Kach, they already made a Kinyan that it's going to be 10 slot in Lashana, then in Ochinami, it's going to be Asr to go in to change it and say that it's going to be the month monthly, if you do it monthly, you'll pay me more, because then we already koveya the price. So even though whenever you have dinei mamonos arrangements, it's always based on whatever agreement we come to. So when we say that schiris is einu shlemus al basof, that you only pay schiris at the end, and that's the way schiris works, that means that's the assumption. That's always the assumption. But if we made it, if we were koveya in advance, that's not going to be our schiris. That our schiris, the money's due up front, and we made a kinyan on that. So Shulchan Aruch says, so then that becomes the price. And then when you charge a little more for the month, then that's going to be a ribbis problem. But the assumption is that it's that in a normal schiris, it's only due later on. It's only due after the period of the schiris. So the fact that I'm taking less money up front is a discount. It's not a ribbis. So seifa, but in the case of the sale, kivud desvininu, since in the case of the seifa it was a sale, ubay lemishkal dami me'afshav, and when you sell something, you deserve to get paid right now as you're selling it. Hilkach, so therefore the fact that I tell him that if he pays later on, he's going to pay an elevated price, agar natar lehu va'asur. So that's agar natar. That's the fact that he's paying me for the right to hold on to his money. He's paying me extra because he gets to hold on to his money. That's ribbis. So the Gemara says, and what's the makor for this idea that schiris is only paid at the end of the period of the rental and it's not paid at the beginning? Amar Rava, Dokuba Rabbanu Baham Milsa. The Chum tried to be medayik. Where in the Torah do we find such a concept that schiris is only paid basof? So v'kmu akra, and they found the pasuk. It says b'schir shana b'shana yiyayimo. So we darshin schir hashana is b'shana, that the schir of this year is paid next year in the shana acheres, in the once this year is over. Schir shal shana zo in the mishtalemes ella b'shana acheres. That's shana b'shana. Now shana for in the next shana, in a different shana. So that's how we see that schiris is only paid l'basov. Period. So then the Mishnah said vim legorin b'shnei masor mana aser, that if I say that, look, you want to pay me for the field up front, it's going to be 1,000 zuz. You want to wait to pay me until you have more cash on hand, it's going to be 1,200 zuz. That's aser, the Mishnah had said. That's the case of the sale. So the Gemara tells us the Amr of Nachman, tar shashari, you're allowed to sell merchandise almanas to pay later on and to demand a higher price for that payment because he's paying later on, as long as you don't say explicitly that if you pay me right now, you can pay me less. Meaning, we can make this arrangement that you'll pay me later and I'll charge you an exorbitant sum of money because you are paying me later, as long as we don't say, but had you paid up front, it would have been cheaper. So I just have to leave out that detail that if you pay up front, it would be cheaper. Say, Yisvei Rami Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman. Rami Bar Chama challenges Rav Nachman. V'amri La Rav Ukva Bar Chama L'Rav Nachman. Some say it was Rav Ukva Bar Chama who challenges Rav Nachman, that we said in the Mishnah that if you sell your field and you say to the Lokeach, that V'im L'Goren, that if you want to pay me at the time of the Goren, B'shnei Masar Mana, you'll pay me 1,200 zuz. Aser, that's aser because of ribbis. So apparently you're not allowed to charge higher amount of money for the fact that he's going to pay you later. So I'm lay, Hasam Katzlei. That's because in the case of the Mishnah, you had set the price at 1,000 zuz if he pays you right now. So then if you say, if you pay me later, it's going to be 1,200 zuz, that's ribbis. But Hachalo Katzlei, the fact that I allow Tarsha, that I said Tarsha Shari, is where you don't say that if you pay right now, it's going to be 1,000 zuz. You just say that if you pay later, it's going to be 1,200 zuz. Now the Gemara tells us about Rav Papa's business practice. Rav Papa was a person who, for a living, he sold beer. He was a beer brewer. So I'm Rav Papa. Tarsha didi shari. The fact that I sell my beer and I only collect payment later on at an increased price, that's mutter. Meaning, my taima, shakrai lo pasiti. So what Rav Papa would do was he would sell his beer in Tishrei, and no one would have to pay him until Nisan. Nisan was the time that they would sell the beer in the stores, and that's when people would have the money to pay him back. But he would charge them Nisan prices, and Nisan prices are more expensive than Tishrei prices. So I'm giving you the beer right now in Tishrei. You're going to owe me Nisan prices, but you don't have to pay me until Nisan. So had they been paying Tishrei prices, which is when he actually delivered them the beer, they would have paid less. So our Papa said, that business practice that I do, that Tarsha, that payment, that the fact that I get more money because they're paying me later, that's mutter. My taima, why is it mutter? Because shekroi lo pasad, the beer is not going to get ruined. The beer has a shelf life of forever. It's going to stay for a long, long time. So that I could have held on to it as long as I wanted to. Zuzi lo tzarichna, and I'm a rich guy. I don't really need the money. So it's not like, I need the money right now, and the only reason I'm willing to take it later is because they're paying me more. I don't need any of the money right now. I know the milsik, kavi lokech. I'm just doing a favor to the lokech, because for whatever reason, he wants the beer right now. So I give it to him right now, and he'll pay me in Nissan based on the prices of Nissan. So I'm not taking extra payment because of the fact that they get to hold on to their money. I would have happily held on to the beer until Nissan and sold it then. The guy said he wants early delivery of the beer, so I'll give him early delivery of the beer. But this is a sale that's happening in Nissan, as far as I'm concerned. The guy wants delivery now. I'll give him delivery now. So from my perspective, there's no ribbis going on over here at all. So Rav Sheshbe Ravidi says, Papa, you know, when you're involved in a transaction with somebody else, you can't only look at it from your perspective. You also have to look at it from their perspective. So yeah, from your perspective, I have no need to sell the beer now. I'll sell it in Nissan. I'll hang on to it. I have plenty of warehouse space. It's not a problem for me. Yeah, but he said, "My chazi mardu kazalta basa didach." Why are you only looking at it from your perspective? Zil basa didu. You should look at it from the perspective of the customer, of the buyer. The fact that they're paying you more money is because they don't have to pay it right now. Dila havelu zuzi. If they had the money in Tishrei, have a shakli kiyashta. You could be sure that they would have rather paid you the discounted price in Tishrei. The only reason they're paying you a higher price is because they don't have the money right now. So shakli kiyukra del kabe, and that's why they're going to pay you more money later on. So from their perspective, it really does matter that they're getting the beer in Tishrei and that they don't have to pay it until Nissan, and that's why they're willing to pay more than the Tishrei prices. So from your perspective, yeah, it's a Nissan sale because I don't really care. Yeah, but from their perspective, they do care, and that makes it ribbis, and therefore it's not proper. Then the Gemara tells us another one of the Gedolei Amoraim that had a business practice that there's what to discuss. Rav Chama was a merchant, so what he would do is he would sell his merchandise with credit to people who would bring the merchandise to a different city, to a place where they could sell it for more money. And the money that they would get for the merchandise that Rav Chama had given them, they would use to buy other merchandise for a cheap price, and then they would come back to the city where Rav Chama was and sell it for an expensive price. And they would pay Rav Chama whatever money they got for his merchandise. Meaning, Rav Chama has merchandise that he sells in his hometown, it's worth $100. But if you bring this merchandise somewhere else, it's going to be worth $150. They bring it somewhere else, they sell it for $150, they pay Rav Chama all $150 for that merchandise, even though they received it from him in his town where it's only worth $100. How are they making money on that? Because then they are turning around using some of the money that they got to buy schora, to buy other schora, and they're going to sell that schora somewhere where it's worth more, and that's where they're going to make their money for the price of that schora. So they're going to buy $150 worth of merchandise, and that's in some other place after they get paid for the initial merchandise. They're going to come back to Rav Chama's location, sell that new merchandise that they have for $200, and then they'll pay back Rav Chama the $150 that they owe him. But Rav Chama is not getting paid $100, which is the price of the merchandise here. He's getting paid $150, which is the price of the merchandise there. So I'm Rav Chama, Tarsha Didi, the fact that I sell and I don't demand payment up front, and they get to pay me later, and because they're paying me later, they're paying me $150, not $100, Vaday Shari. That's for sure not a ribbis problem. Why is it not a ribbis problem? He says, because when they're bringing my merchandise from my town to the town where they're going to sell it for $150, I have the achrayus of that merchandise the entire time. Meaning, if it were to get lost or stolen or anything were to happen to it in transit, I'm the one that takes the loss. They're not the ones that take the loss, which means that I haven't sold it to them yet. They're just my shluchim to go and sell it. So it's still my merchandise the whole time. And it's only once they sell it, they're selling it on my behalf, and then they're giving it to me. So that's not, they're giving me the proceeds from the sale. My taima, why is it that it's not a problem? Because nichlu d'leikub rishusi, they'd rather have the schora be considered my schora until they get to the place where they could charge more money for it, to kalhecha, to ka'azli, because so wherever they're going, Shafkilu Machsa, they want it to be my schora because I'm a Talmud Chacham. So wherever they go, they don't charge them taxes because the halacha was that they wouldn't charge taxes on merchandise of a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham get tax breaks, parsonage, right? So they'll always say people are going to look at these businessmen carrying this schora, and the tax collector will say, "Whoa, you got to pay tax on that." They'll say, "No, this is Rav Chama's merchandise." So then they get a break on the taxes. Vinakalushuka. Not only that, when they get to the other place, they open up the markets. The halacha is, the Gemara in Basra tells us that if a Talmud Chacham has schora, that he gets to open up first. He gets to sell all of it before anyone else is allowed to sell their schora. Talmud Chacham has to sell his schora first because we want the Talmud Chacham to be able to get back to learning, so we don't want him to waste the whole day involved in business, right? They say, I think the Chafetz Chaim had like that the Chafetz Chaim had a little store, so everyone would buy out whatever merchandise he had for the day. He would only sell as much as he needed to live that day. Okay, that's it's not just the Talmud Chacham wants to make a ton of money. He would sell as much as he needed to live that day. So he opened the store for a half hour, sell out whatever he needed to live that day, and that was it. Then everybody else could open their stores, and they were able to do business. So these guys were able to sell things early because they were working for a Talmud Chacham, because the merchandise belonged to a Talmud Chacham. The Hilchasak Rav Chama, and the halacha is Rav Chama is correct that he's allowed to sell with such a tarsha, with such a deal. So now the Gemara just concludes on two issues that we've discussed over the past several dapim. Vilsa Krebelazar. Number one is that we pass on Krebelazar, which is the issue of Ribis Katsutza. We had a machlokas where the Ribis Katsutza is Yotze B'dianim or not Yotze B'dianim. Rabbi Lazar said yes. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not Yotze B'dianim. So we're just coming to our halacha conclusion that Ribis Katsutza is Yotze B'dianim. And the second thing is Vilsa Krebiani, Damar Mali Hain, Mali Dmehen. That we pass on like Rabbi Yanai, that was back on Samach Gimel. Amid Aleph, where we had a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yanai, when a guy gives money and they make a deal that he's going to give payros based on today's prices for that money, and even if those payros go up in value, so I'm going to get a pound of payros for the money that I pay you, and you're going to give me back that pound of payros in a month from now, even if I'm giving you $100, the pound of payros is in a month from now is going to be worth $150, but today it's worth $100. So we had a machlokas in lieu of giving the pound of payros, can they just give the $150, which is what the payros are going to be worth in a month from now? So Rabbi Yanai said, yeah, mali hein, mali dmehen, meaning at that time he had purchased the payros for $100, which is what they were worth at that time. In a chinami, they went up in value, so now that they go up in value, so you give them back the value of those payros. What difference does it make if he gives those payros or he gives the money? The other opinion, Rav's opinion, was, no, that looks terrible. I'm giving you $100 today, and a month from now you're giving me back $150? That looks like ribbis. So that's the machloka. So we pass the Rabbi Yanai, mali hein, mali dmehen. Okay, new Mishnah. Machalos asad of anasalmo miktsas damin. I sell the field, and you give me a partial payment of that field, right? A down payment on the field. So the Amar lo, the mocher says to lokech, emesai shetirtza have maos v'tola shalcha. Whenever you want, you can bring the rest of the money that you owe me for the field, but right now the field will already belong to you. Meaning you could pay me the balance at some later date, but right now the field is already yours. Only al tanai that ultimately you do pay me the balance. If you never pay me the balance, then the mechira is going to be batal and mafreya, and I'll return the down payment that you already gave me, and we never met, right? Meaning then I'll keep the field, you'll get your money back, nothing ever happened. So Asu, you can't do this. Why can't you do this? Because who's going to eat the payros? Whether the mocher eats the payros until the lokech brings the balance of the money, or whether the lokech eats the payros until such time there's a chashash of nisar ribbis. Because if the mocher is going to be eating the payros, when the lokech brings the balance of the money, it's going to turn out that the field belonged to the lokech the entire time. So why was the mocher eating the payros that whole time? Oh, it's because he allowed the lokech to pay late. So that's why the mocher was eating the payros. That's ribbis. And if the lokech is going to be eating the payros, so we have to be choshish that maybe the lokech is never going to come up with the rest of the money, and the field is going to go back to the mocher, and the mocher is going to return the down payment. So why is the lokeach be allowed to eat the peros? Because he allowed the mocher to hold on to that money for a period of time. And that's ribbis. So no matter who eats the peros, there's a possibility that it turns out to be a ribbis situation. So therefore, it's going to be a problem. Hilvol also deu. If a person lends somebody money and he gives a field as a mashkon, and the field is worth more than the loan, so I'm giving you $1 million field as a mashkon for a $500,000 loan. And he says, listen, if you don't pay back the $500,000 loan within 3 years, harei shalit, then I'm going to keep the field. So that's not ribbis. And if 3 years pass and he doesn't pay, harei shalo, he's allowed to keep the field, even though the field is worth more than the halva'a, because we view it as if the money of the halva'a is a payment for the field. So initially the malva was kona the field for a cheap price, and that's not called halva'a beribis. V'kachay baitos ben zunin osa al pi chacham. Baitos ben zunin used to do like this all the time, and the chacham had no problem with it, that he would take $1 million, he would give a $500,000 loan, take $1 million field as collateral, and if loan wasn't paid up, he would just keep the $1 million field, and it was viewed as if he bought $1 million field for $500,000. He just got a really great deal. So now the Gemara discusses the case of the Reisha of the Mishnah, that a person sold his field and the guy paid a down payment. So mi ochel peros, who can eat the peros until the lokeach comes up with the rest of the money to avoid nisa ribis? So Rav Huna amar mocher ochel peros, the seller eats the peros, because so long as the lokeach has not paid for the rest of the field, he has not yet acquired the field and it still belongs to the mocher. Rav Adan says, no, neither of them is allowed to eat the peros. The mocher can't eat the peros because maybe the lokeach is going to come up with the rest of the money, and it's going to turn out that the field belonged to the lokeach the whole time. And the lokeach can't eat the peros because maybe he's not going to come up with the rest of the money, and it turns out the field belonged to the mocher the entire time. So mishalshinus haperos, they leave the peros by a shlish, by a third party, until they can figure out who the field belonged to this entire time. And whoever belonged to the entire time, that's who's ultimately going to get the peros from the third party. They put it in escrow. That's essentially what they do. So it says in Gemara v'lo pligi, Rav Huna and Rav Hanan are not even arguing. Each one is talking about a different case. Ha da amar l'chimaisis. Rav Huna is talking about where the mocher is allowed to eat the peros, is in a case where the mocher says to the lokeach, when you bring the rest of the money, kani, that's when you'll become the owner of the field, and not a day before then. So therefore, I'm allowed to eat the peros until then. Hada amar, but Rav Anan was talking about where the mocher said to lokech, l'chimaisis, kani me'achshav, that no, if you pay me the rest of the money, you are the owner of the field, going back to right now. So we don't know who the owner of the field is right now. And that's why we need to put it in the hands of a shlish. Tani Rav Safra's beribis dvei Rav Chia, Rav Safra taught a braisa by the ribbis base medrash of Rabbi Chia. In the case of our Mishnah, the person sold the field and the guy gave him down payment. So there are four different dinim as far as the achilas peros during that time where we're not sure if he's going to come up with the rest of the money or not. Pa'amim sheshnei mutarim. There are certain cases where they're both allowed to eat the peros. Pa'am sheshnei masum. There are certain cases where neither is allowed to eat the peros. Pa'am shamocher mutar lokeach aser. Sometimes the mocher is allowed to eat the peros, but not the lokeach. Pa'am shalokeach mutar mocher aser. And sometimes the lokeach is allowed to eat the peros and not the mocher. So ani Rava Basrei, Rava responded and explained what are we talking about? Pam sheshnei mutarim, when are they both allowed to eat the peros? Darmalei kini kishir zuzcha, you will now own the portion of the field that you paid for, and the rest of it you will own when you pay for it. So now we're both allowed to eat the peros because I own part of the field and you own part of the field. Pam sheshnei asurim, sometimes neither of them can eat the peros. Darmalei lichimaisis kini me'achshav, when you bring the rest of the money, you will be the owner of the field retroactively to right now. So basically, we don't know who owns the field right now, and therefore neither of us allowed to eat the peros. Pam mocher mutav lokeach haser. Sometimes the mocher is allowed to eat the peros, but not the lokeach. Darmalei lechimaisis. That's where the mocher says to the lokeach, when you bring the rest of the money, kani, you'll be kona the entire field from now and on. So it turns out that right now the field still belongs to the mocher, not the lokeach. So the mocher is still allowed to eat the field. Pam shalokeach. He's still allowed to eat the peros. Pam shalokeach mutav mocher haser. And what's the case where the lokeach can eat the peros, but not the mocher? Da amrlei, where the mocher says to lokech, kini me'achshav, the whole field belongs to you right now. V'zuzoy lachvu alva gabach, lahavu alva gabach, and the rest of the money that you owe me, we'll view that as a loan, meaning it's a mortgage. You're paying me for the down payment. payment, and we're taking out a mortgage that where you're going to pay over time, but the whole thing belongs to you right now. So it belongs to you right now. You're allowed to eat the peros. So man tana shnei masurim. Who's the time of the brisa that says that if we're not sure who it belongs to right now, that neither of them is allowed to eat the peros? So it's against Rabbi Yehuda. This is exactly a case of tzalech and beribis. I don't know if the field belongs to the mocher or to the lokeach, so neither of them are allowed to eat the peros. What do you mean? If it's a tzalech and beribis, if it belongs to the mocher is entitled to eat the peros. It just may turn out that it belongs to the lokeach, where the mocher won't be entitled to. That's tzalech and beribis. Ooh, once we have a brisa that we mentioned against Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, I'll give you other brisas that are against Rabbi Yehuda. We have a brisa, mishkin lo bayis. If Lova gives us a mashkon, a house that's worth more than the halva'a, as a mashkon for a loan, so mishkin lo sada, or a field that's worth more. But amar lo, look, shatir tzal mokram, if you want to sell the bayis or the sada, so I'm making it tonight, lo timkrim elu li bidam malalu, that you can only sell them to me with a small amount of money beyond the amount of the halva'a, even though it's worth less than the house. So it was a $500,000 loan, I give you $1 million house with the deal that if you ever want to sell that house, you sell it to me for $750,000. Usher, that's an isra of ribis, because in exchange for the halva'a, he has to sell the field to the malva for a cheap price. But if he doesn't make that tonight, but rather it's b'shavyeh, it's based on what the house is actually worth, so mutter, then it's going to be mutter. Mantana b'dam malalu usher, who's the one that says b'dam malalu is usher? So I'm Rafun Rabbi Yeshua, Dilok, Rabbi Yehuda, it's against Rabbi Yehuda. Ti Rabbi Yehuda, Hamar Tzalech Ribis Mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Tzalech Ribis, and Tzalech Ribis is Mutter. Okay, we didn't get quite to where we needed to, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Machar Lo Bayis, another case of a Braisa that relates to Tzalech Ribis. Have a great Shabbos, everybody.